if my math is correct. This is either season 21 or 22 with our guest. We're going to talk the numbers, and as we head for, a place called Magic City.
From Miami Beach, the sun and fun capital of the world.
If you haven't won a bet since, well, Britney wore mouse ears, it's the man who created ParamountSports.com on the web.
And here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Sterling.
How sweet it is!
Yep, it's go time on Twitter. It's at Paramount Sports. Welcome back, Lee Sterling. Lee, how's life been treating you and yours down there in South Florida?
Tell you about 6:30 Eastern time tomorrow how good things are. If Miami wins and the Dolphins win, I'll be riding high. If we lose, when you call next Friday, dead air. I'll be gone.
The doldrums will have struck.
Feast or famine. You know how that goes.
Yeah. I'm actually curious because I always keep an eye on Miami. Obviously, right. More so with Coach Cristobal there. I know he can recruit, but I'm kind of liking the potential of this offense. What's the buzz down there?
Oh, I think they're starting to turn it around. What's crazy, though, is, and I think A&M is really good. I think A&M is really talented, maybe more talented than Miami, but the game's in Miami, so they've got a chance. But, you know, the problem with Miami, it's a big game town here. You know, Messi comes, they're giving away tickets. I mean, I had more invites than I have fingers and toes to go to, you know, the Miami games. Now that Messi comes, cheapest ticket is $400. I mean, so, you know, we're a big city town, a big game town, and, you know, if they win, there'll be 60,000 at the game on Saturday. There'll be 50-plus for every game the rest of the year. They lose, there'll be 25,000 fans. I mean, I won't go to another game. It's just a perception. But I do think that they're headed in the right direction. There's over 50 players that left the program, graduated or left the program that they kicked out. And they were just weak, so... He's found some guys. I mean, he got a transfer from Alabama who started last year, a kid from Central Florida, their best lineman probably in the last decade, and two bookend tackles that go like 6'5", 330. So we'll see if it's enough on Saturday afternoon.
All right. Let's start something we were going to talk about last week before I fell ill, this major rule change. I like it because I'm always big on proper clock management, which right. I see blown so often.
Oh, did you realize what happened in the game last night? Do you realize Andy Reid totally messed it up?
Yeah, and I noticed that because, first of all, just I was kind of reared on Bill Parcells, who was a master at timeouts, when to hustle, when to take air out of the ball. And I am amazed.
Well, I don't know if you noticed this. They should have gone out of bounds at the 9-yard line with 202, 203 to go in
the
game.
To get the extra play.
Yeah, well, out.
I'm sorry,
the
go out.
The quarterback runs backward and goes out of bounds. Why? Well, you're not gonna convert a 4th and 25. You give them the ball at the 9. They even if they score a touchdown, extra point, you're still in the game, 8 points. They've either got to try, or if they want to sit down and take a knee, you're going to get the ball back with a minute 45. You go the length of the field here, they're only up by 1 point. You don't have to go the length of the field, you just got to get a field goal. So he gets a free pass. That's Andy Reid.
Well, I guess the two Super Bowls help, but
right,
at the college level, now that it's not stopping after every first down, though it does in the final 2 minutes, so it's available at crunch time. Just and now with a week to kind of drink it all in, what do you think of the new rule?
So I wish they would have kept it the way they had it. I mean, it's only a difference of 8 or 9 plays. I mean, two and a half to three points per game. Here's the problem with the new rule. They wanted to shorten the game. But in all actuality, all they did was add commercials. It's only 1 minute shorter. That's it.
Yeah, I think over the course of the season, first of all, like I said, it's early. I'm all about just trying to put the pressure on to manage the clock better. It could turn out to be negligible. All right.
All right.
Let's get to the biggie at Bryant Denny, Texas at Bama. Last week, the Horns, not overwhelming offensively. They got the new Alabama quarterback, Jalen Milroe, who became, it's crazy to think, the first Bama quarterback ever. Three TDs throwing, two rushing in a game. Great game last year, tied, beat him by a point on a late field goal. We've got the Fighting Sabins laying 7. What's your thought on this one?
You know, most people thought there was going to be a quarterback battle going on in August, but Jalen Milroe, I mean, just took a hold of the position and never looked back. He was always a good runner, but his passing accuracy has really improved. And Quinn Ewers, he doesn't get hurt in the game last year. I think they win the game. I mean, he was looking great, but since that time, doesn't look the same. They just cannot throw the football down the field more than 20 yards and get consistent completions. And partially his fault, he's thrown off his back foot. His offensive line has not done a good job. He got hit 5 or 6 times in the pocket by Rice, defensive lineman or linebackers blitzing. And I even winced a couple times he got hit so hard. So you want to beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, you better be able to throw the football. You better be able to run the ball. And their running backs are okay, but they lost Bijan Robinson here. So I think they're in trouble here. I just got 2 words for you. Roll Tide, Alabama 34-24.
All right. Heading for Pullman, one of the biggest non-conference game ever for Washington State. Wisconsin is in. Cougs beat them at Madison. They got a new offensive coordinator who lit it up the past 2 years at Western Kentucky, scored 50 at Colorado State. But the Badgers are the chalk here, laying 6. What's your play here?
So I think Wisconsin is probably the play. And why do I say that? You know, they controlled the ball 38 of the 60 minutes in the game last year. They just couldn't put it in the end zone, just could not convert at all. So I just think that this is a situation here where the offense was broken last year. I mean, Graham Mertz was horrendous. Bring in Tanner Mordecai. Didn't look great in the first game. He comes over from SMU, but I think he's going to be a much better fit. And Lou Fickell, new head coach, he brought in 2 offensive linemen from his team at Cincinnati to go with the 3 holdover starting offensive linemen. So I think there's still a run-first team here with Braylon Allen. He gained 142 yards last week. I think he'll continue on that role here. Wazoo, they put a number on Colorado State, but Colorado State's defense is downright dreadful here. We're going to go with Bucky. Bucky, 35-24 over Washington State. Yep.
Washington's home for Tulsa. Kind of a sluggish first quarter, but, man, they laid it on Boise State, who's had a really good defense. Michael Penix and his receivers, man. Now they're playing Tulsa, who were the 120th-ranked defense in points last year. Just like, good luck with all that. They're a 36-point dog. How do you see this one playing out?
There must be some real problems going on at Tulsa. I mean, most people had them dead last in the poll to begin the season. They can't stop anyone. Last week, I mean, they just were blitzed in that game. And now they return only 2 of the 5 guys in the secondary. They're going to face Michael Penix Jr., who, Michael, I mean, looks great. I mean, threw for almost half a mile, 5 touchdowns. His 3 receivers, I think, are going to play at the next level. Even the quarterback for Tulsa, he transferred out. The 2 guys that played last week did not look good. I mean, they started with Braylon Braxton. He was 1 for 4 with 2 interceptions. Jeez. Then Cordell Williams came in. He played well, but it was too late here. I like Washington here, 60-16.
Yeah. Good luck stopping those guys. Yep. As for the Ducks, I mean, when you think about the contrast in openers, last year the monster that was Georgia, now Portland State, and they hang 80 on him. This is the second time ever to Lubbock. Red Raiders going to be a little ticked off after that loss in double OT at Wyoming. A lot of bad penalties, sustained drives. You know, the line is a little smaller than I thought. Quackers -6. What gives here?
Yeah, so, I mean, the game lost a lot of luster. I mean, this was going to be maybe second or third billing after Alabama and Texas if Tech won that game. But they lost to a Wyoming team. Wyoming, if you look at their quarterbacks and their running backs and receivers, I don't think on any decent team, SEC team, very few would even be in the two deep. So Wyoming just really well coached. They willed themselves to win that game here. I think Bo Nix should have a lot of success against his secondary here. And the Tech offense was flat at Wyoming. They should play a little bit better here at home. They're usually a different team. But this is going to be a fun game. I think, you know, if Tech doesn't lose the game, line's probably 2, 2.5, and then I'm all over Oregon big. But I think still think the Ducks are the right side. I think they win and pull away late, 41-31.
All righty. A couple final thoughts. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, breaking it all down. Let's get to the NFL. Off a pleasantly surprising 2022, the Seahawks host the Super Bowl champs from 2021. And I'll tell you what, with Cup hurt, aside from Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford, just a different-looking young roster. I like Seattle's upside with the way they've drafted. Hawks lay in 5. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, they drafted extremely well, and they're coached up. And on top of that, Geno Smith, who I thought was going to be a career backup, come into his own, 4,200 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions here. He completed also almost 70% of his passes. Now, with the additions at wide receiver, running back, it might go up to 73, 74%. I think they're going to be more explosive here. I mean, without Cooper Kupp, I just don't know what's going to happen. He could be gone 3 or 4 weeks here. And I mean, it wasn't like the Rams were playing their starters to start the season. What did they do? They got outscored, get this, 109-34 in exhibition. So outside of Kupp, their health is pretty good, but I think they're up against it here. Usually this is a close game, but I think Seattle pulls away here. I like them 31-21.
All righty, and as always, Lee has his free play, Game of the Week, and as I've been saying literally for decades now, we have a great time talking the games, the action. We like to tie in the local, the national game, but when the curtain rises, folks at Paramount Sports, about one thing, find those matchup edges, pick winners for their clients. Lee, let our listeners know all they need to jump on in for the season.
Well, probably the right weekend to jump on board. We have our first 40 to 50 unit selection of the year. We rate our plays from 10 to 50 units. We've never had an NFL 40 to 50 unit selection the first week of the year, and I just found the right matchup, right situation. Weather's good, all the intangibles. So anyone wants to hop on board, we're 61-20 on these games going back the last 15 years. It's ready right now. You don't have to call back Saturday or Sunday to get it. So I'd love to have you come on board. You don't have to sign up for the season. You want to get from now through Monday, October 2nd, 4 weeks of action, normally $397. Use coupon code SAVE100, just $297. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Hey, great fun as always. Have a huge weekend. Enjoy. And, of course, look forward to doing it all season once again, Lee. Thanks a lot, my man.
Okay. See you, Steve. Thank you, buddy.
Take it easy.